Welcome to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are talking about Joseph and the birth of Jesus and Mary and the cultural. We talked about the culture last time, so if you didn't hear it, you may want to go back and tune into that and find out why, where it all happened and how God used all that. We're going to continue on in Matthew 1:18 through 28 and Luke 2:1 through 21.
Yeah, and so we started to ask the question at the end of last show about what are some oddities that, you know, you would think that somebody would struggle with. And so we'll look at those, we'll go into those, but then we're also going to look at some scripture references of other people that have referenced in the Old Testament what's coming. And then we'll begin to look at Joseph and Mary and Jesus and what we can learn from them in these passages. We will cover that over the next 3 weeks. So, Grant, if you would be so kind as to read us our scripture again.
Okay. Matthew 1:18 through 25. The birth of Jesus came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." When Joseph got up from sleeping, he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him. He married her, but did not know her intimately until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus.
So beautiful. Okay.
And now we have Luke 2:1 through 21. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. The first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him snugly in a cloth and laid him in a feeding trough, because there was no room for them at the lodging place. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today a Savior, who is Messiah the Lord, was born for you in the city of David. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in a cloth and lying in a feeding trough." Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to people he favors." When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the feeding trough. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as they had been told. When the 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived.
So beautiful. Thank you, Grant, for reading. Okay, so last time we were talking about how culturally they were in incredible unrest. And I wanted to open us with first century pagan writer. You got to understand, a pagan writer. This is not a person who believes in Christ or Christianity. He said, "While the emperor may be able to give peace from war on land and sea, he's unable to give peace from passion, grief, envy. He cannot give peace in the heart in which man yearns for way more than his outward peace." So even within the pagan culture, they were recognizing how desperate they were for peace. And so that was the political unrest at the time. And then we were discussing what are some things that we have found that are odd that when we read scripture or we're sharing it with somebody, we think that somebody might struggle with. And so I wanted to see if you guys had more that had come to mind that we just hadn't discussed. We had done a couple. Did anybody have one?
I think probably also the fact that Mary was a virgin could be a pretty big thing for somebody to get over reading for the first time.
Yeah. I think so. And we take it at faith value. And but wondering, like, how's that medically possible, and what would the struggle have been like, you know, and how can you convince people scientifically that that's even possible? And so earlier today, I'm going to put you on the spot. You willing to share what you were sharing with us on the car about your dream?
I mean, I guess.
No, is that odd? You could say no. So you have permission.
No, I'm fine with sharing that.
Yeah.
But I just had a dream one night that it was kind of a strange dream that I myself was giving a virgin birth, even though I'm a
He's
guy.
He's a boy.
Yeah. So it was just a very strange dream. But then when the baby came out, I was very, very attached to him. And he was kind of like the light of my life at the time. And then he was taken away from me. So it's kind of metaphorical, I guess.
It is.
Yeah.
And scientifically, we all laugh because he's a boy. But scientifically, I agree with Christina. Like, that's something we struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
And so the stuff that would have been going on for them, and how is this possible? And, you know, and that in faith, she just said, I am the Lord's servant. Let it be as you say. And in simplicity and faith and in humility, she accepted what God had said would be and received it. Now, granted, they had been prepared that a Messiah would come this way. But I think probably just as many families named their sons Jesus, many prayed their daughter would be the one. If you think about it. And so I think that went both directions. And so that would have been, you know, something that they could have, you know, okay, this is something that's possible because it says so in Scripture. And so, but it would take incredible faith to believe that. Keep that in mind as we are going through. Were there anything else that you guys thought that was hard or odd?
Not too strange, but I feel like if I were someone who hadn't read this before and were reading it, when it got to the part about the shepherds appearing, or the angels appearing to the shepherds didn't appear to anyone. I feel like I would just be a little confused as, like, why is this in here? Like, what does this have to do with anything? Like, or, like, just, like, why shepherds?
Yeah.
Like, not even, like, from the standpoint of just, like, oh, like, shepherds are the, like, lowly of lowly. Like, why did it appear to them and not someone else? It's just kind of like, I feel like I'd read that and be like, why is that there?
Right. Yeah. Okay. That's good. That's good. All right. I'm going to share one that I had too. And the dream. So imagine how anxious Joseph was. And God chose to use an angel in a dream to tell him, don't be afraid. Go marry her. And it's from God, and so go on. And I know for myself, when God gives me something in a dream or in a time of prayer, I often will not apply it until I see the fulfillment of it happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like I will realize afterwards, oh my goodness, I had that in my dream. I knew.
Mm-hmm.
Or God woke me up and I knew he gave me the specific words that were even going to be said, and then all of a sudden it unfolds. I often don't realize it until after. And the ability of how well he listened, she listened and obeyed.
Mm-hmm.
And this one here stopped me this morning as I was praying through this and preparing. I'll bring it up, but I'm just going to bring it up because it's here now. But both Joseph and Mary, when it came to obedience, it occurred to me, they had instant obedience, but they had long-term obedience in suffering. They had long-term obedience in sacrifice. They had long-term obedience in persecution. They had long-term obedience in watching something unfold that was beyond their ability and their comprehension, and they still obeyed. Mm-hmm. And I was just, oh my goodness, God, they are so amazing.
So faithful.
I know. And so when we ask the question, you know, why Mary? I'm like, oh my goodness, well, we definitely know why. I mean, them back then were mm-hmm. wondering why Joseph, why Mary, whatever. But for us, we see the fruit of the outcome. And I'm like, oh my goodness, of course it makes sense. Because I think of my own heart, and do I have instant, immediate obedience when I hear? Mm-hmm. And do I have long-term obedience when things unfold?
And this also shows how God knows all. He mm-hmm. knows that they're going to accept that, and they're going to follow through.
It's so beautiful. Yeah. It's so beautiful. Okay. All right. So I have another question for you guys. This one, these are all just to kind of get us into the story, but I wanted us to think, okay, if you will, I want you to think of your first memory of when you, like, actually understood, recognized the birth of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like, how did that come mm-hmm. about? And I'll spur you on, and I'll share a story. You know, I'm a believer. I have believed in Christ, but when I go back and I think on this, when Greg and I were first married, our church in Houston, at Houston's First Baptist, we used to have these preschool events at Christmas time. We would do a huge event where we had different stations all over the church that they could actually go and experience the Word of God. And Greg and I, every year, dressed up as Mary and Joseph. And so you're talking, I'm a believer, I'm somebody that's, you know, I'm mature in that I am growing in my salvation and stuff, but taking the passage of Scripture and Greg and I standing in front of children, sometimes as many as 6 times in one morning, telling the passage over and over, and me dressed as Mary and Greg dressed as Joseph, I felt like I don't know, for lack of a better word, I experienced or understood the birth of Christ and what they went through in probably the most profound way. And that memory now overrides every other memory I have of the birth of Christ in my life. Isn't that crazy? Because it was such a profound thing for me to do that. So I just would like to hear if you guys have. Has anybody had one come up that you can recall? Because it may be hard. I've had time to think on it. I wanted to see. Because this is important to think on this memory. Because we need to make this memory certain in people's lives. Mm-hmm. Anybody?
Well, I think for my experience, kind of also along with like telling Christmas stories to other people, at our church we do the Christmas pageant every single year. And so I think the moment where I started to understand the birth of Christ on a deeper level rather than just like the surface level story was sitting there, and even though it wasn't real, witnessing like just a recreation of the birth of Christ was very powerful to me in that instance. And I think from those shows around like fifth grade is where my faith started to kind of flourish a bit more rather than just be like the childlike faith where you believe everything, but now I wanted to believe and understand what I was believing.
Yeah. So, yeah. So good. Mm-hmm. So good. And I love the fact that it's through the imagery and the storytelling. Mm-hmm. And kudos out to West Side and Dan and Susie Norton.
For me, it was almost the exact same. I think when I was 11 is when I saw the first Christmas pageant at our church. And I think it was something about seeing Jesus being born, and then in the same production, him dying on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And
seeing, I remember that one.
Like seeing like how he was born and fulfilled this purpose, like in the same show, was really Moving when I was younger, and that was when I like made the decision that I wanted to get baptized then. So that was also,
aww,
yeah.
Oh, that makes me cry. Oh, that's so sweet.
Well, I actually was thinking the same thing before Adam was talking. I was like, oh, I feel like, you know, because it's just such a distinct image, you know, mm-hmm. like something that like we've grown up with and known. And I feel like for me, it was kind of, I noticed it the most when I was like in one of the songs that like a piece of that story was happening in, mm-hmm. because even though like I wasn't Mary or Joseph or someone like that, you know, like I'm like somewhere else, like doing some sort of like dance for the performance for the song. And, you know, like you're trying to like give the best performance you can. And it's like you just really feel like you said, being a part of the like recreation of it, it's like you get a better sense of like the emotion that went through it and through like the different things. So like one, like where they're like searching for a place to stay and stuff like that. Like you really get a sense for like that like lostness of like, we're in this like busy place, but there's like nowhere for us, mm-hmm. and like all the different aspects when they're like conveyed through like song and performance, it does a better job at like punctuating the emotion that would have been in that moment.
Mm-hmm. That's so beautiful. How about you, Sandy?
I just agree with all of you. I think that I'm a visual learner, so anything visual that you can see, and actually, after you've read the so many times, you know, it just goes more deeper into your heart. The longer you walk with Jesus, you just see more.
Right, you know? Right. It just is such an important part of mm-hmm. When we think through the passages, when we are reading the Bible. Mm-hmm. If you listen to some of the things that were said, we talked about actually experiencing, being a part of, mm-hmm. becoming a part of the story, seeing the story, repetitiveness, the visual, the senses, and when you take the time to allow that to happen, the story becomes real mm-hmm. to the point of understanding. And a man without reason does not have understanding, but a man who has reason will understand. And this year I had learned that the Hebrew word for word is davar. And devar means to hear, write, speak, mm-hmm. illustrate, or experience the word of God.
A lot of tactile going on there.
Yep. Completely. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we think we only need to read it or speak mm-hmm. it. But the devar is to hear, write, speak, illustrate, and experience the word of God. And that's my prayer, that I can be a person who compels people to do that. Thanks for listening. God bless.